Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our online service. We're glad that you're tuned in today, and my prayer is that you've had a good week. We were supposed to record this service yesterday, Friday afternoon, but I had to take my wife Jenny into the emergency room at Community South, and we postponed the shooting of that video. Many of you know that Jenny has coronary artery disease. She has a stent in one of her main arteries. She takes lifelong, she'll take medication of beta blockers to keep her heart slowed down. And God's been good in protecting and providing for her, but she's been having a lot of pain in the last several days that she thought was other symptoms. Didn't know what it was, but that pain started to go up through her chest and into her jaw yesterday, and we decided we needed to go to the emergency room. And so we got there, and I was able to go in with Jenny and get her checked in. And then there was that horrible moment in time when the nurse looked at me and said, "You can't go back to the room with her. You have to leave the hospital, and you can't come back in the hospital." And I don't know why that hit me so hard, because I knew that's been the drill that thousands of families have been going through for the last 4 months. And I walked out to my car and I sat there in the parking lot of the hospital and I cried for about 5 minutes and began praying for Jenny. And the only thing I knew that to do was to just cry out to God and commit her into His hands. But as she was being wheeled away in the wheelchair and she looked up at me with tears in her eyes and I had to turn and walk away, it was probably one of the hardest moments in my life. And you know, we often have sympathy for people, but it's entirely different when we can have empathy. And as I was sitting there in the car thinking about all this, I realized, you know, there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of people who at a much more extreme level have experienced what I went through in just a moment. Their loved ones have gone into the hospital, whether it's been for COVID-19 or whether it's been for a heart attack or some other critical medical procedure. Their loved ones have had to leave them there. I thought about Larry and Jan, and a month or so ago, Jan had to go into the hospital for surgery and Larry had to drop her off. And for 2 or 3 days, he was home and she was there and they communicated by phone. And I realized how many times that has been played over and over and over again. These have been trying times for everybody. And we saw in the news this past week that the death toll from the COVID-19 surpassed 100,000 people. And that means that there were 100,000 families, whether it's at the hospital or nursing home or wherever, who were separated from their loved ones. And not to mention those who were hospitalized for 2 or 3 months before being released, and that separation and the anxiety and the pain that goes with that. And then when I looked on the Center for Disease Control website, I realized that in this past 4 month period, when 100,000 people have died of COVID-19, there have been approximately 900,000 people that have died from other causes here in our country. That would be heart or cancer or whatever. So almost a million, it was like 984,000 people, including the coronavirus, who have passed away in the last 4 month period. And that's not an unusual amount. That's the unusual part is the COVID-19. And I just realized how every single day somewhere in our country, people go through pain and loss, and not to be able to be there with their loved ones in these past months, I have no doubt has been exceedingly painful, because I got just a little glimpse of that. And I have a much deeper empathy for those people who have been separated. And so we live in these, I call them crazy times. And at the start of 2020, I said, this is 2020. What is this year going to hold? And I had no idea it would hold what it has held so far. And they're saying on the news that almost a quarter, one-fourth of the working population of our country will be out of work. Now over 36 million, I think maybe it's gone over 40 million people now who are out of work. And they're saying that a sizable portion of those jobs will never come back. And so there is a lot of frustration and turmoil and anxiety, and we all at various levels feel it and experience it in different ways. And I know, I'm sure you've seen on the news the tragedy that happened in Minneapolis. An African-American man by the name of George Floyd was being detained by police. And we saw the sad, horrifying video footage that he was detained or restrained on the ground with an officer's knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes. And he passed away from that. And there should be outrage over that. And we see those kind of things happening so often, and we realize there's still a lot of racism in our country, and there's still a lot of conflict and tension between ethnicities and races. And now the response of that doesn't necessarily make it any better, but you can understand the underlying frustration and angst as there have been protests across our country. And I didn't realize till I saw news this morning that there were protests in Indianapolis last night. And peaceful protests are certainly within our rights and can accomplish good and have a purpose in our society. But too often those protests turn into riots. And when the protests go in tonight and in the cover of darkness, even in our city last night, there was vandalism and broke into the CVS downtown, tried to set it on fire. There were several officers who were hurt. And to me, not to try to point out that particular issue, it's just one of many issues that shows the turmoil and the pain and the anxiety and the suffering that we are experiencing collectively as a nation. When I was sitting there in the car thinking about Jenny, and at that point in time, thankfully, they ruled out a heart attack, but they didn't discover what the source of the pain was, but gratefully, they ruled out a heart attack. But while I was sitting there in the car, I did not know what would happen with Jenny. And the thought went through my mind, I could possibly not see her again this side of heaven. And just wrestling through all of those emotions. And then the thought came to my mind, two things. The thought came to my mind, you've got to practice what you preach. And I realized in that moment, I was completely helpless, had no control over the situation. I ended up driving around several times and going back to the parking lot of the hospital. But, you know, I had to come to the realization, just like I had been talking about several weeks ago, we ultimately do not have control of our lives. Our lives belong to the Lord. We are not our own. We are His. And so I had to ask myself, do I really believe that? And can I trust that for Jenny? And so there was a moment in time where I had to, sitting there in the car in the parking lot, I had to release her to God. And then I've been talking about, in the midst of all kinds of crisis and suffering, we have hope in God and we have to put our trust in Him. And so I had to work through that. You can know something in your mind, but to know it and experience it in your heart is a different reality and dimension. And I had to come to that place where not only did I realize I have no control over this situation and have to surrender Jenny there in the ER to the Lord, but I also can trust Him. I'm grateful for that, because I don't know what people do who don't have the kind of hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so I appreciate the different texts and emails and calls from some of you, and thank you for your prayers for Jenny. She's home, and we'll take the next steps whenever we can hopefully see a doctor in person. And interestingly, that whole experience for me tied in with what I want to talk about today. There's two psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 4 and Psalm 5. They are an evening prayer and a morning prayer. So I want you to think about something, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. What is the last thing you think about before you go to sleep at night? What is the last thing you think about before you go to sleep at night? And then what's the first thing that you think about when you wake up in the morning? Now, for us, the evening is the end of our day. But in biblical times, it was considered the start of a new day. Now, on our clocks, a day starts at 1 minute after midnight. 12:01 a.m. actually starts a new day, and the day ends at midnight at the end of that day. Now, we tend in our culture, in our society, we think our day starts at 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning. That's the beginning of the day, and then we go through the day, and then night starts when we go to bed. But in biblical times, the evening was actually considered the start of a new day. And I think that's interesting because in a sense, if you think about that in our lives, while we are sleeping, God is working. While people are sleeping, God is working. Now, I think a lot of us probably in some form or another, we start off our day with prayer. Maybe we have our cup of coffee and breakfast. We read a devotional, read the Bible some, and we pray before we go off to work or whatever our day holds. Or maybe we're in the car on the way to work and we're praying. But we often start our day with prayer because we want God's help for our day. Now, the question I have is, do we end our day with prayer? Psalms 4 and 5 are an evening prayer and a morning prayer. And it's really interesting that the Psalm 4 is the evening prayer, which comes before the morning prayer. Now, we turn things around. We think, well, we start with the morning and we end with the evening. But in God's timing, and in the culture of ancient Israel, the evening was the beginning of a new day. And the morning and the day would go through the next morning and again to the evening. So we're going to start looking first of all at an evening prayer. The evening prayer is first, and it prepares us for rest, and that rest prepares us for a new day. And then the morning prayer helps us refocus on God after a night's rest and to trust Him for the day ahead. So if you have your Bibles with you there at home, I'd encourage you to take them and open to the book of Psalms and find Psalm chapter 4, the book of Psalms chapter 4. And I'm going to read that entire psalm. It's just 8 verses, and then share a few thoughts with you from that, and then we'll look at the morning prayer in Psalm 5. These are Psalms of David. And he starts off by saying, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your heart and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Now, I want to ask you a question. How often do you lay in bed at night and you let all the events of the days, the things that happened, your experiences, things that people said, you let those events play through your mind? I think I do that way more than I should. Do you find yourself sometimes laying there in bed before going to bed, fretting and worrying about what happened during the day, fretting and worrying about what's going on in your life? You're laying there in bed thinking about what tomorrow holds, and maybe you're anxious and stressed out about some things that you know are happening tomorrow. Do you find it easy to carry the hurts and the wounds that maybe you receive from something that someone else says? Do you carry them with you into the night? I think probably every one of us, if we're honest, there's times that we lay in bed before going to sleep, and we can't fall asleep because we're thinking about everything. I think part of the problem of that is that, you know, we're so saturated with the news and media. And about three or four nights ago, we've been trying to turn off the TV a lot earlier than we used to and make sure that we're reading or talking before we go up to bed. But on this particular night, I said, I'm going to watch the 11 o'clock news. And I watched the 11 o'clock news, and I went and got in bed, and I didn't think about God, and I didn't pray and thank Him for the day, and I didn't think about the next day and commit it to God. All that was running through my mind was what I just saw on the news. And I think that this psalm encourages us to take time before we go to bed, or when we get in bed and we're ready to go to sleep, to take time with the TV off, with the cell phones put away, and take time to pray. And the psalmist gives us a good pattern for that. And he starts off by saying that we need to remember that God is the one who frees us from our distress. It doesn't necessarily mean that He takes our troubles away, but He frees us from our distress. And so if we start off before we go to sleep, last thing we do, take a few minutes to talk to God. And one of the things that we can do is to release to Him all the events of the day. And to ask Him to take away our distress. And the psalmist talks about that and gives us a picture that God is the one who frees us of our distress. And as the psalmist goes on, he also talks about the fact that even though there may be other people who have hurt you or insulted you or done something wrong from that, God wants to free you from that. And so if you take a few minutes when you go to bed at night, TV off, book put away, nothing to disturb you, make it the last thing that you do, the last moments that you're lying in bed, to talk to God and to let Him set you free from any disappointments or pain or stress or conflict that may have been part of your day. Rather than you fretting about it and carrying it with you into your sleep, this is a great opportunity to release that to God and to be reminded of the fact that He's the one who sets us free from our distress, from our turmoil, from our anxiety. And even if other people have done things to frustrate you during the day, and the psalmist talks about people that pursue worthless things, and we get, you know, we get disenchanted or frustrated with people, oftentimes family members, why did they do this? Why did they do that? The psalmist is inviting us to rest in the fact that we belong to God. We can't control what other people have done during the day or what they've said, or we can't control the events that have happened at work or in our neighborhood or wherever it may be. But we can remind ourselves that we belong to God and that He hears our prayers. You might be angry at the end of a day at some things that have happened, but don't let that anger turn into bitterness or hate. Instead, take time to reflect on the things of your day. Offer yourself to God. The psalmist talks about making a sacrifice to God. Well, this is in the context of you're laying down to sleep, you're resting in God. So while for the Jewish person in the biblical times, a sacrifice often meant going to a temple and making a sacrifice, I think you can look at this in a broader self that when we end our day, we offer ourselves to God as a sacrifice to Him. And as we reflect on our day, we trust God with all the things of the day, and we give those back to God. God, here's all the stuff I've been dealing with today. Here's my anxious thoughts. Here's my fears. Here's my frustrations. I don't want to hold on to any of those things. I want to give them to You. And it's a good time to reflect back and say, okay, God, what lessons have You wanted to teach me in the events of this day? How can I see Your hand through what's happened in my day? And even at times, which right now I think is one of those times in our nation and in our world, even though it doesn't seem like anything good is happening around us, we still need to pray and ask God to shine His light and His favor on our lives, on the lives of our family, on our church, on our nation. Even though others around you might seem to be prospering more than you, just trust God to put the joy in your heart. And I think it's way too easy for us to lay there in bed, because I do it way more than I should, and I was convicted in reading this psalm. It's so easy for us to lay there in bed, and we toss and we turn, and we can't get to sleep, and we're thinking about all this stuff, and we're fretting about things, and we're upset about things, or we're worrying about things. I mean, this is our human nature. And yet, God is offering us a different way. So what if, in this coming week, you tried an experiment, and every night when you get in bed, and I would encourage you to turn the TV off way before you go to bed. When I was in college, I used to work for my aunt and uncle up in Chicago, and they had a huge king-size waterbed in their bedroom, and every night they watched the Johnny Carson show. And once in a while, my cousin and I would, you know, knock on the door and see if we could come in and watch a little bit of Johnny Carson. But every night, they watched the Johnny Carson show and then went to sleep right after that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Johnny Carson show, but or whatever it might be. But if the last thing we see and hear is a picture and a voice and something on the television, and then we try to go to sleep, should be no surprise that sometimes we have restless nights and we can't sleep. And so I would encourage you also to memorize the prayer that is at the end of this psalm, right before you go to sleep. If you memorize this, take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes, lay there in bed, thank God for the day, reflect back on the things that have happened, surrender those things to God, offer yourself to God, and then make the last words that come out of your mouth at night. You don't have to say them out loud. You can say them in your mind. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And if you're a creative type, you can get a little piece of cardstock or something and write those verses out, whether it's from the NIV or the King James or the Christian Standard Bible or the ESV. Just make yourself a little placard, stick it on the side table beside you, and instead of spending time fretting about the day and the things that have happened, instead of worrying about what you've seen on the news and what's happening in our world today, take those moments to spend 5 minutes. And so I'm committed to do that, because I've had too many nights in the last weeks that it's been 2 a.m. before I can fall asleep. And I got to thinking, that's ridiculous. And Psalm 4 is a good antidote to that. You don't need necessarily a prescription for sleeping pills from your doctor. You need a prescription from God's word in Psalm 4. And you can, the last thing that you say is, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety, and we can rest in him. So the psalmist moves on, and another, it's likewise a psalm of David that he had given to the director of music. It was actually meant to be sung. So if you're creative, you can sing this psalm, make up a tune and sing it, and you can sing it before you go to sleep. But use the principles in that Psalm 4 for your evening prayer before you go to bed. Psalm 5 is a morning prayer. Let me ask you a question. In the last couple of months, do you ever wake up in the morning and sigh and think, another day, another day? What is this day going to hold? We probably all at one time or another, you know, it's not like, oh, I can't wait to get up out of bed, and we swing our feet over the bed and hop up and we lay there for a minute and can I hit the snooze button for 10 more minutes? Another day, what's this day going to hold? And I think as we'll see here in Psalm 5, we can start our day in a different way. And my suggestion would probably, a lot of you have your devotions, your Bible reading, your prayer time. Some may do it in the evening, but a lot of people will do it in the morning. Get a cup of coffee, go to their favorite chair, read a devotional, read a chapter or some verses out of the Bible, spend some time praying about the day. But what if before your feet ever hit the ground, before you ever got out of bed, what if you took just 5 minutes to go through what some of the psalmist says here in verse 5, or chapter 5. So listen to Psalm chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With the wicked, you cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men that the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence. I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O Lord. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And so this psalm encourages us to start our morning with prayer. We end the previous day with prayer, which gives us opportunity to let go of everything and trust God and sleep and rest through the night, knowing that He's still working even while we are sleeping. We can start a new day with prayer. And I would encourage you to take a few minutes, as I mentioned, to do that before your feet ever hit the floor. God, ask God to listen to your words. And in this case of the psalmist, they're a lament. The psalmist sees the brokenness and the hurt and the injustice of the society in which he lives. And he has the freedom to voice those concerns to God. Start your day in the morning as you lay there in bed and just say, God, listen to my concerns. Listen to my sighing. Sometimes I think at night we process things in dreams, and you might wake up saying, what in the world was I thinking about last night? And it's a good time in the morning to say, God, I give you all the crazy thoughts that were running through my mind. Ask God to hear your request that you lay before him. And what a beautiful picture that is in that third verse. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Think about that. The God who created this universe, the God who is working ultimately to accomplish his purposes, even if we may not see it in our immediate circumstances, this is the God who invites us to come and speak to him. He's the one who hears our voice. And so in the morning when we start our day, we have the privilege of being able to lay our request before him and then wait in expectation. What if we started every day with a sense of expectation? What am I going to see God do in my life, in my family's life, in my community, in my church, in our city, in our nation? Ask God to hear your request. And the picture there is you lay those before someone. There's a great picture in the story of Hezekiah when the enemy, Sennacherib of the Assyrians, were getting ready to surround the city, and they sent a letter of threatening Jerusalem. Hezekiah didn't know what to do, so he went into his room and he laid that letter out before the Lord. It was like he gave it to God. We would use the expression, you lay something on the altar, you surrender and give it to God. And so here's this picture that we can begin our day expressing our concerns, expressing our sorrows, lamenting over the condition of our world today. But we can be assured that he hears our requests, he listens to our words, and he invites us to lay those before him. And I think it's important that as a new day begins, we give ourselves in a fresh new way as a living sacrifice to God. We end our day in the same way. God, I belong to you. I'm yours. Everything that's happened in this day, I surrender it to you. And now here we are at the beginning when we start a new day, and we can say some sort of the same thing. God, this day is a gift that you've given to me. I give myself all my talents, all my abilities, all my relationships, I give myself to you. Here I am. Take me this day. Do with me what you want. Help me to be surrendered to you and to your will. And then, like many of the Psalms, David encourages us to wait patiently. And he says we need to remember that in all the evil that we see around us, God is not pleased with wickedness or evil. We can't blame God for the sin and the suffering that we see in our world today. He knows it, and ultimately, through all of it, he will accomplish his purposes and be glorified. But the psalmist encourages us to wait patiently before God and not to blame him for all of the things that we see happening in our world around us. And it's because of God's great love for us that we can come to him and we can worship him. And that's more than coming to church and singing some songs. What if when you're laying there in bed and you're starting your day in the morning, you express your worship and gratitude to God? I think I've told the story before that when I was growing up as a kid, I can remember being awakened in the morning, hearing my dad sing out in the living room. His devotions included reading scripture and singing some songs out of a little songbook that he had, and then spending time in prayer. And as a teenager, I didn't greatly appreciate when I wanted, that was in the days that you wanted to sleep in till 10 o'clock on a weekend if you could. I didn't appreciate the fact that I was getting wakened up by my father's singing down in the, or out in the living room. Now I can look back and appreciate that. And we see certainly the sense of praise and worship and adoration that flows all through the book of Psalms. And we can come before God in the morning and we can worship him. Whether that's singing a song or reading a verse of scripture, we can start our day with worshiping God, giving him his rightful place as our God and our Lord. And then we have the opportunity to pray that God will lead us in the right paths and that he will make our steps clear. And even if that is the extent of your prayer, you lay there in bed and say, God, in a minute, I'm ready to get out of this bed. I don't want to get out of bed, maybe, but I'm going to get out of bed. And I want you to lead me in the right paths today. And I want you to make my steps clear. I give you this day. And I know that you go with me into it. Ask God to help you not to trust the wrong people and the wrong things. And here you see a picture of those in verse 9 in particular. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. The reality is there's a lot of evil out of there. There's a lot of people who have wrong intentions. But we can trust God to help us to handle those things in the right way. Not to trust the wrong people or the wrong things or the wrong things that are said, but to trust in God. And we can go into our day knowing that we can be glad because God is with us and he is our refuge. So what kind of difference would it make in my life and your life if we started every day, even before anything else or at the very start of our day? Maybe we've got to have a cup of coffee with it, but take the first few minutes of the day, even before we get into our Bible reading and devotions and maybe a longer prayer time, just take a few moments and say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for a night's rest. Thank you that I can trust you with this day. Thank you that I don't have to fret about all the mess that I might see around me. I can trust you and I can be glad in you because you are my refuge. And David gives us that picture here. And then it is perfectly appropriate, as this psalm ends, for us to pray for God's protection to surround us and to give us his favor or his grace as we go into the day. And so the last couple verses of that psalm say, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Isn't it good to know that we have a place of refuge in God and his word through his spirit? Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them. We should be praying that every day for our families, for our church, for our neighbors, that God would spread his protection over them. Let those who love your name rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. So think about starting your day asking God to protect you, to surround you with his favor and his grace as you go into the day, and knowing that he is with you. Evening and morning prayers. Ironically, in the times when we need to pray the most, we're sometimes, for whatever reasons, and maybe it's the enemy who wants to pull us away from God, in the times where we need to pray the most, we sometimes allow ourselves to be so consumed with all of the troubles and the problems and the anxiety and the stress of the world that we're in right now. I experienced just a little bit of that stress at the ER yesterday, not knowing the uncertainty, the fear. I experienced that, but I can also tell you I experienced the goodness and the grace of God, that in the midst of tears and in the midst of apprehension and in the midst of uncertainty, there's a reassurance that he is there. And I want to challenge you this coming week, the first week of June, if you can believe it or not. I've so lost track of time that it doesn't even feel like it's summer other than the sun's shining and it's warm. But this first week of June, go to bed. Put your phone out in a different room. Don't have a TV on. Take some time to lay there and to reflect and to pray and to talk to God and to give him your day and ask him to give you his rest. And at the end of that short time, you can close your eyes and say, Lord, I will lie down in peace. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And then when you get up in the next morning, take a few minutes and start off saying, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. I'm lifting my prayers to you. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait in expectation. What if this whole next week we started every morning waiting in expectation to see what God will do in our lives? So in the evening before you sleep, you can put all the events of the day to rest. And you can commit them to God. You can let go of anything that is troubling your mind and ask God to give you rest and peace. And then as you start a new day, as you start a new morning, offer yourself to God, commit the day to him, commit yourself to him, and ask God to give you gladness and lead you in the right paths throughout the day. God's word says this: in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you, and I wait expectantly. Let's pray together. Lord, in these extraordinary and often difficult times, we want answers, we want solutions. Honestly, we want things back to normal. But normal is not necessarily good. What's good is for us to trust you and to walk with you. And I confess that sometimes that's hard because I allow myself to get so consumed with all that's happening in our world and in our nation, and the brokenness and the pain and the suffering. And sometimes the only prayer I seem to be able to get to come out is, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We need you. We need you in our families. We need you in our churches. We need you in our communities. We need you in our nation. We need you in our world. May this be a time where we turn to you in new ways. And I pray that you would give us the grace and you would prompt us by your Holy Spirit to end each day finding rest in you, finding our peace in you, giving you everything that has transpired in our day, and even giving to you all the events of our community, our nation, our world. And help us to start each new day with the reassurance that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, and whatever it holds, we will trust you. Help us to put into practice this rhythm and this cycle that we see in the Psalms of evening prayer and morning prayer. And may you refresh and rejuvenate us and make us a blessing to our world around us, because we've taken time to let go of all those things that stress us out and to let you be the one who gives us peace and rest, and let you be the one who guides us into a new day with the assurance that you are with us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives. Thank you for the hope and confidence that we have in you. Be merciful, we pray, to so many people who are suffering. Bring peace and healing and restoration, and may people turn to you that have never thought of you before, and may people who have wandered far from you be drawn back by your grace into the peace and fellowship that they experience with you. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.